The scripture reading this morning will be coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her in the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does to the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and of the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she is respected by her husband.
Morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth. This month we have been talking about love, and I wanted us to continue those thoughts as we look at the family. And even though Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through the end of the chapter were read, focusing more on the husband-wife relationship, really, Paul's main point there is in verse number 32, the great mystery is Christ and his church. That's his main point, but he illustrates it with the husband-wife relationship. I want us to talk about the family just for a few minutes, and the reason why is because we understand that love permeates our lives. At least it should. And when we think about the love that God had for us, we talked about that a few weeks ago, and the love that we have for his word. And it's his word that governs our lives. So when we consider the love that we ought to have for our families, I want us to take into consideration just a few passages, and then I'll let you go on this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, and verse number 2, the Bible clearly teaches us as the people of God that we ought to have a certain lifestyle. He uses the word walk. And if you notice there in that particular passage there, he says to walk in love. And one thing I know about our families that we need to be practicing this, need to have that love for God, number one, love for the word. And when consider that love, friends, is not just an emotion, but it's also, it is obligatory. We know that it's something that we are obligated to do. We're obligated to love God. And God showed his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But here Paul tells the church there in Ephesians 5 and verse 2 to walk in love. And friends, that's something that we need to always keep in mind. But drop down to verse 8. In verse number 8, he tells us to walk as children of light. So you think about these things, friends, and you think about the family and how these things ought to be in our natural family. Whether it's natural or blended, we consider blended families, think of families or children from other individuals, and we come together, and really all families ought to be able to work together and to be able to gel with the Word of God. You think about the family of God, and we ought to gel with one another because of the love we have for God and the love we have for the Word, and of course, that love we develop one for another. So he tells the church there to walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Your lifestyle ought to be that of light, illuminating, meaning that you are not who walk in darkness. But drop down to verse number 15. You drop down to verse 15, and he tells the church at Ephesus to walk circumspectly or to walk in wisdom. Friends, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23, Bible teaches us that Christ is the very wisdom of God. Where do we obtain this wisdom? How do we know to keep our families together? How can we keep them together? How can a mother treat her children and bring up her children, a father bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And grandparents, how can they help the parents to help the grandchildren? And I'm not talking about giving them candy so they can stay up all day when they get home with their children. I'm talking about how do you help them? By walking in wisdom. Walking circumspectly, he tells them. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? The days are evil. And friends, they're still evil. There's still so much going on around us. There was so much going on in the days of Paul at the church at Ephesus, and it's still going on. Things a lot of going on today, even in San Angelo, Texas, that we have to guard our children, guard our families. But then you drop down to verse 21, which is my favorite. It says, submit. We ought to walk in submission. You know, our first submission is to Jesus Christ. And then we submit one to another in the fear of God. I just truly believe that if we look at these four things as it relates to the family, walking in love and walking in light and walking in wisdom and walking with submission, many of our families would be on the incline. And this is why I want us to talk about this, because one of the most difficult things to do is to walk in love continually. To have our minds made up that I'm going to be that man, that husband, that spiritual leader in the home. How about a grandparent? How about a wife who is submissive to a husband, respectful? Friends, sometimes when we consider these things, we allow the ways of the world, the thinking of the world, the words of the world to infiltrate our hearts, to saturate our minds, and to cause us to think otherwise than what God has stated in his word. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we know that the commandments of God are not burdensome. They're not too tough. They're not too hard. They're not going to put you under oppression, if you will, not God's word. Everything that God does, everything that God says is for our betterment. It's for our good. We consider some of those things, and we consider how God desires for us to be his people. And you look at chapter 5 and look at verse number 23. The husband, he should be the head. He's the spiritual leader, if you will. And I want to encourage all of the men, and if you have a family, or if you're desiring to be a family man one day, be developing those characteristics. Be that man of God that God desires for you to be. And the reason why is because you're following your head, Jesus Christ. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, follow me even as I follow Christ. We know where Christ is. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. We know that he always did the will of his Father, John 8, verse 29. And the reason why he did that is because he wanted to please his Father. We ought to have that desire to please our Father. Our Father in heaven, which means that we are imparting wisdom to our children, Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 10. As a matter of fact, let's turn there real quick. And you think about a godly man, a godly father, and you're having a desire to marry a woman one day, or you're having a desire to marry a young man one day, or maybe you're already married and been married for multiple years. All right, you can always develop and always grow into that man of God, that woman of God that he desires for you to grow into. But you think about the wisdom that Solomon gave his son, Rehoboam. Notice what he says in verse 8 through verse 10. He said, my son, hear the instructions of your father. Listen to me. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Listen to your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, leave them alone. Consent thou not. What great information. And really, when we consider the role of the father is to protect the family, protect the wife, protect himself. And no wonder Proverbs 4 and verse 23, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We put God's word in our hearts so we can protect our homes and protect our families. As a matter of fact, it's the responsibility of the mother and the father to protect their children. But children, it's your responsibility to listen to your parents so you can be protected. There's so much evil that's going on around us. And as grandparents, you do your part. Look at Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we're not going to read all of it, but just for interest. I want us to take notice of Titus chapter 2. And friends, we consider some of these teachings that Paul was given Titus and also to Timothy as it relates to older women, older sisters, older brothers, and putting themselves in a position to teach the younger. But the younger have to put themselves in a position to be taught by the older. But in order for that to take place, friends, the older have to put themselves to be taught by God so they can have something to impart. Oh, friends, just because we have gray hair growing doesn't make us wise. But if anything, because we have spent time with the Word of God, that makes us wise when we develop it and apply it to our lives. In Titus chapter 2, notice what Paul tells Titus in verse number 2, that the older men be sober and reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish, that they may teach, that they may warn with instruction the younger women, notice friends, to love their husbands. Friends, love is a developed, love is a learned, love is an emotion, and it is also that something that you have to be taught. You have to be taught love. And young sisters, you want a husband? You have to be taught how to love that man. It's a blessing, though. It's a blessing to be taught how to love. God teaches us how to love through His Word all of the time. But we have to go to the Word. So the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. But also, notice what's after that, friends. And their children. What? You got to be taught how to love your children? I thought that's natural. You know, when you have things coming out of both ends at 2 a.m, it takes love to get up and clean all that up. Y'all smile. They're sick. They have things running through their system. And you're changing diapers all night. It takes love to get up and do that. And we know that's true because some mothers, because of their love failing, put their children in a trash bag or in a can or the drop them off at the neighborhood fire station. But true love hangs in there and they do what is right. But you got to be taught those things. And notice, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Young ladies, it's all right to be a homemaker. It's all right to spend time at home. They say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But we can be just like the proverbial woman in Proverbs 31. You take care of home, but you also take care of your business. We need more sisters that are willing to develop that mentality. Why? Because we need our children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Doesn't mean you can't work. But keep in mind that your first obligation is to your home and take care of home. And it's the man's responsibility to take care of his house, to provide for them. But not just money. Brothers, we need to provide spiritually for our families. We need to nourish and cherish our wives and to give them the comfort that they need, just like what God gives us. Friends, I know that this is true because when we consider what is a good marriage, it's seen between Christ and His church. That's a good marriage. And Christ is always faithful to His wife. So we see these things. But then you go back to Ephesians 5. You look at Ephesians 5, friends, and you consider some of the blessings that are found in what Paul is illustrating here as it relates to the wives being submissive to their husbands. I believe that one of the greatest attributes of a woman is one of a meek and quiet spirit, as Peter talks about. One that has great reverence. Self-control. You know, you think about what a woman has to deal with sometimes. Friends, to be submissive is powerful. Jesus was submissive to His Father. Everyone who has been baptized into Christ was submissive to Jesus. Everyone who is still faithful to Christ and has died in Christ faithful has stayed faithful because of their submission to the Lord. Submission is a very powerful attribute. It is not something to be looked down upon. If anything, it's something to be esteemed. It's esteemed. You drop down to verse 24, she's subject to her husband in everything. You look at verse number 33, she is to be reverent to her husband. Oh, friends, you think about this. And you consider when the man is doing his job as a family man, she don't have a problem being respectful, being reverent, being submissive. Why? Because she's doing that unto the Lord. But then, what will it take for parents to be successful? This is what it takes, friends. If our hearts are going to be healthy, that means that we have to watch the hindrances that the world brings our way. We have to protect our children's hearts. We have that responsibility. As a matter of fact, if your children are young, as a parent, we are their moral conscience right now. Until they develop it to a point where they can discern right from wrong, Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. We are our children's moral conscience. Isn't it amazing that God is our moral conscience by giving us His Word? And when we take His Word and we apply it to our lives, we develop into the people of God that He desires for us to be. And then we take on the mind of Christ. He's our moral conscience. He teaches us right from wrong. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you see what Moses tells the children of Israel as they are about to go into the promised land, the second generation of the children of God. And notice what he tells them. He says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, verse 1, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, in order that you may fear, reverence the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your sons and your grandsons. You see that, friends? You, your sons and grandsons, which means that the seed should be transmitted to the son, and the son ought to give it to his son, and his son ought to give it to his son. When it's in the woman, the wife, the mother, she gives it to her children, and her children give it to her children and his children, and it just continues to pass on. Shouldn't we pass on the seed of the word of God? Notice what he says, the end of verse 2. All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it in order that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God and of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Friends, we have to teach our children. We have to teach one another. We have to encourage one another to love God with all of our hearts. And one of the most difficult things that I've noticed in the last 20 years of Christianity is to love God with all of my heart 100% of the time. Because there's always things coming our way. There's always things that's trying to get us off track. There's always some situation and circumstance that we want to chase and want to run after. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves leaving the Lord, leaving the foundation, leaving the rock, leaving our salvation. So he tells them, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love him with all of your strength. Everything about you, love God. And this is what we ought to be teaching our families. Love God. Protect your hearts. And make sure that your heart is right with the Lord. Verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your home. Friends, what are you talking to your children about? What are you talking to your grandchildren about? Are you talking to them about the word? Are you talking to them about the goodness of God? I'm reminded when the children of Israel, when they crossed the Jordan and God told them to put rocks in the boulders into the Jordan. And when your children ask, what mean ye these stones? You tell them that God delivered us. Father, why did you get baptized 20 years ago, Dad? God delivered me from sin. That's why. It's amazing that we learn things in history. God was always a historian. He always wanted his people to know what he did in the past. He always wanted his people to be able to stand on the rock. We call it the Rock of Gibraltar, but really we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse number 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Friend, God wants us to be teaching our families. We have a responsibility as husbands and as spiritual leaders, mothers. Maybe you don't have a husband at home, but you have children. Then you have double duty, because you still need to get your children to Christ. You still need to get them to heaven. You still want them to be successful spiritually, emotionally, financially, socially. Even Jesus grew in those areas. Friends, we have a responsibility and we can do it. I know we can. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through verse 34, that God takes care of all of our needs. But God wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. And teach your children, seek first the kingdom and God will take care of you. God is always taking care of his people. He will always take care of his people. And in the future, he will take care of his people. God will always take care of us. Reminded of what David said in Psalm 37, I believe it is. He said, I have been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. David, what are you saying? God is always taking care of me. Even when Absalom was chasing after him, his own son, God took care of him. Even when his son was killed by another son, God took care of him. He took care of his inner man. Friends, God will take care of us too. So what can we do to protect our families? Number one, go to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, let's not involve ourselves in love stoppers. Y'all take that home and chew on that for a little bit. Let's not involve ourselves in love stoppers, things that stop love in the family. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. These are love stoppers, y'all. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, meaning just you get angry and just go off. Selfish ambitions is about me. Dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those things, those are love stoppers. Over a period of time, these things continue to take place in the lives of a family. It begins to wreck the family. And what God wants us to do is to be involved in those things that promote love and promote joy and promote peace and goodness. He wants us to be involved in those things. He wants us to promote those things in the family. And sometimes we make mistakes in life. Sometimes we're developing as parents. I know for a fact that the first few years of my parental life, they didn't always do things right. But as you do something more and more, you get better at it. You think about that, friends? That's why we have to develop quickly. We need to develop as quick as possible as parents, as quick as possible as grandparents, as quick as possible as possible parents. We need to develop very quickly. Look at verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Notice the contrast that we have here. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know what this means? This means the things that we just read, friends, God is saying through Paul, that you can do this as much as you want to, and you'll never exhaust it. You know, there's nothing my wife can do about me loving her. She can say, I want you to stop loving me today. I might start loving you even more. Y'all smile. But wouldn't you want that? Someone who loves God so much that they demonstrate that love towards you. You'd be like, why do you keep demonstrating that love to me the way that you are? Because I love God. And even when I mess up, and even when I'm not doing that which is right, I come to myself and I ask God to forgive me. And I ask my spouse, I ask my children, ask my friends, ask my parents to forgive me. They'll do it because of what's living in them. Friends, this is a great life. It just takes a while to develop it. It just takes a while. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we look at some of these great virtues, if you will. Those things that we ought to add to our faith. And you're probably asking yourself or telling yourself, my children are out of the house. And, you know, I didn't make all of the right decisions. And, well, my children are faithful to God right now because of some of the decisions I've made. But, friends, if your children are still alive, maybe you still have a chance to point them in the right direction. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Sometimes we give up on our children. Why? There's not a lost cause out here. Until they die, then that's a lost cause. But as long as they're living, we have an opportunity to at least reason with them. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 5, these are some things that promote great family lives. But also, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith moral excellence. That's virtue. That's doing what is right because it's right to do right. That's doing what is right because of what you have read in the Word promotes goodness and righteousness in your life. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Meaning to stand under the trial. And we need more families that's willing to stand together and to promote righteousness and promote morality and wholeness. And it does matter how we talk to one another, Colossians 4 and verse 6. And a husband shouldn't grow bitter toward his wife. But if that happens, then we need to grow out of that and we need to persevere and stand under the trial. Guarantee you the grass is not greener. Because it takes just as much fertilizer to make that grow too. Y'all get that when you get home. But you got to persevere. And grandparents need to help us with our children. Help them persevere and hang in there. We live in a generation today where it seems as if people want to give up easily. Things are not going well on the job, not going well at home, not going well at the church. I'll just leave and go somewhere else. Friends, it shouldn't work that way. We ought to hang in there. Hang in there. I'll buy you another pulpit next week. But we got to hang in there. And friends, that's what Peter is saying. Persevere. Hang in there. Don't give up. Shouldn't give up. It's not always easy. But we hang in there to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Isn't it amazing that Paul, by inspiration in Galatians 5, the first thing he mentions, Brother Braswell, is love. And Peter, by inspiration, the last thing he mentions is love. And in the middle, all in that good stuff, you got love. You know what that means? That means we hang in there because we love God and we love one another and we want to do that which is right. So how do we do this? We watch our words. Friends, words are powerful. I've gotten in more trouble because of words in the past. Words that don't go anywhere. In Proverbs 25 and verse number 11, our words ought to be like apples of gold in settings of silver. What are you saying? Choose your words wisely. Colossians 4, verse number 6, let our words be with grace seasoned with salt. Oh, to the doctor saying, Mike, you need to lay off that salt. I put salt on everything. But you know what? One thing that God will never tell you to do is stop pouring on the salt. Why? Because it preserves. It's flavorful. It's amazing what you could probably tell your spouse, tell your parents. And the next thing you know, they're willing to go through hoops for you. And as younger parents, we have a responsibility to our older parents. And that is a problem that Jesus dealt with in Matthew 15, verses 3 through verse 6. They wanted to honor their parents, but they really didn't want to. Their hearts were wrong. And we have a responsibility to take care of our parents. If you still have your parents, praise be to God. You make sure you take care of them. You help them. You nourish them. And you talk to them and you give them words of encouragement. And thank them, even though they made some mistakes in their lives, you thank them for the person that you have turned out to be, because you could be worse than what you are today. Could be worse. So we got to watch our words. It's all right to point our children, as I said earlier, in the ways of success. It's okay. And sometimes it's difficult for church-going people to understand the difference. To think that if you're successful, you're not spiritual. That's not true. Why does that door keep opening? I did that last week. Oh, somebody's coming in today. Okay. Come on in. I'll preach another 45 minutes. Let's think about this. Let's think about this. God wants us to be successful spiritually. And when we're that, friends, it'll take care of everything else. But we have to teach our children, don't run after the money. You run after God. God will take care of everything else. He will take care of it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, we see that principle being outlined. What does it mean to be successful? What does it mean to be successful even in business? What does it mean to be successful in our mindset, even as someone who has a job? Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with reverence and trembling and sincerity of heart. There it is, as to the Lord. Friends, this is success right here. It doesn't matter if you have a good job, but if you are disrespectful to the one who is over you, God says you're not successful. So, to my young counterparts, young brethren, have the right attitude even at work. Notice what he says, not with eye service as men's pleasers. So my boss is out of town, and since he's out of town, I'm going to slack off. No, don't have that attitude. You have someone who is watching you. That's your God. It's an attitude that he's talking about. Rabban, I thought you were talking about the family. We are. This is what we teach our children. When you go to work, give the man a good 8 hours worth of work, and work hard while you're at work. Good work ethic. We have to teach our children that. This is love that we're demonstrating to them. Notice what he says. Doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Friends, God always does that which is best for us. The question is this. Will we? Will we take care of our families? I want to challenge the older generation here that you attach yourself to someone who is younger and you share with them some things that will help them in their lives that they don't make some of the same mistakes you made. Because really, when you consider by principle, Romans 15:4 principle, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning. God has left us the Old Testament for various reasons. I believe one of them is that we don't repeat the same things that they did. But then to repeat some of the things that they did because they were successful. So older generation, help us out. You see us going in a way that's not right or that could be done better, help us out. And as parents, guide your children. Teach them to love God. Teach them to know the difference between the two. Maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe you haven't heard things like this before. We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to read the scriptures, to study with us. Maybe you're having some family issues. And maybe the real issue is that y'all don't love one another like you're supposed to. Well, then let's develop it. Let's fix it. Let's go in the right direction. Let's allow God to get glory out of our lives. And when that takes place, then I know for a fact that you'll turn around and you'll tell God, thank you. Because I've known many a couples that had struggles in the first 10, 15 years, but the last 30 or 40 were the best because eventually they developed it and they got it right. So if you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to be one. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God himself will give you the crown of life that will not fade away. You'll live with God throughout eternity. You do that by hearing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being baptized for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his Son's church. We're faithful even to the point of death. But maybe you're a child of God and, well, you've been struggling with your family. You need special prayer for your family. There's a family that I need y'all to pray for, the Talibs. You pray for them. God knows what they need. Pray for them. Maybe your family needs prayer. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.